121. Psalm 121, that's found on page 592 in your pew Bibles. This psalm is the most familiar of the 15 songs of ascents. Some of these sacred poems are linked to David, while others are not. But they all seem to have been sung or chanted by Hebrew pilgrims as they journeyed up to Jerusalem for the yearly festivals. Such is the case, I believe, with this psalm as well. Psalm 121. I will lift my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. That's why the reading of God's Word. I encourage you, as I always do, to keep your Bibles open to the text, as we're going to be looking at it throughout the message this morning. Brothers and sisters in Christ, whether we think about it or not, when we're out and about, it's pretty much certain that we're being watched. There are, of course, cameras at intersections, ATMs, and at bridges, like those on the Guide or I-5 crossing the Nooksack River. There are cameras in parking lots, border crossings, airports, and in retail stores and businesses. And then there are traffic cams, dash cams, and doorbell cams. Then, too, our phones and computers are constantly listening in, monitoring us, and tracking us. Both businesses and our government want to know what we're up to 24 hours a day. Well, here in Psalm 121, the Spirit-inspired author is reminding us that there is, in fact, another set of eyes on each and every believer as we journey along through life. Five times in this psalm, we find the name Yahweh. And five different times, we find the Hebrew word for a protective sort of watching. A word used to speak of the Lord's attentiveness toward His people. Our God is ever watching and keeping us. Now, this psalm, Psalm 121, is comprised of two voices. Voices that together testify to the Lord's sovereign, loving, and watchful care. And those two voices will be the two points of the message this morning. And the first voice we hear in this psalm is an anxious voice. It's an anxious voice. Verse 1 here of Psalm 21, I will lift my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? So here we have a very simple question, a question concerning the need for help. Now, of course, there's a lot behind that question and what might have triggered it. But notice first that this first voice speaks here in the first person, using I's and my's. Well, the second voice that begins in verse 3 is a voice of reply. It's a response to this voice with its question. So these two voices originate near each other as though these two were walking together. Now it's possible, isn't it, that these two voices are the inner voices of a single individual, someone whose thoughts are going back and forth during a stressful or fearful time. And the reader wouldn't be wrong to conclude that that's what's going on here in this psalm. And yet, considering that this psalm is a song of ascents, it's a pilgrim psalm. The setting here certainly could be that of the Hebrew families, friends, and neighbors making the long journey from home to Jerusalem. A journey that for many of them stretched for dozens, if not hundreds, of miles, with some of those miles passing through desolate and dangerous regions. And in that context, then, we have a pilgrim who is looking up to the distant mountains, beyond which is his destination, Jerusalem, the holy city, with its magnificent temple where a host of fellow believers gather to celebrate and worship the Lord. For them, Zion is their objective. It's their destination. And yet, between him and it stretches a long and challenging road. Well, this question, with its related concerns, would especially be on the mind of a young and inexperienced traveler, a first-time Hebrew pilgrim who's only just beginning his first trip to Jerusalem. And someone then who has heard the stories of long days of hot and wearying travel, hinted at there in verse 6. Someone who's heard accounts of wild animals stalking travelers, prowling about at night. Again, verse 6. He's heard accounts of travelers lost to landslides, perhaps, and missteps on narrow cliffside paths. Something hinted at there in verse 3. Or of murderous bandits ambushing and robbing pilgrims along those desolate mountain trails. In fact, we know from the New Testament that even during Jesus' day and under strict Roman rule, folks were robbed and murdered who traveled through Palestine through some of those mountainous roads, as in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, it's difficult for us to relate to all of that when all we need to do is pile in a very comfortable car or hop a flight for several hours and arrive at some far-off destination. No, but those ancient pilgrimages were frequently difficult, dangerous, and taxing. And of course, there were good times along the way, but there were also hardships and troubles as well, weariness and the unknown. And so, like Israel's 40 years of wilderness wanderings, these annual pilgrimages to Jerusalem came to symbolize the believer's pilgrimage through life, where we too have Jerusalem awaiting us, but the heavenly Jerusalem. Like those Hebrew travelers, our lives bring us through times of hardship, troubles, dangers, and weariness as we walk our way to Zion. Again, verse 1, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. And so this anxious pilgrim looks off into the distance and he wonders. He wonders and asks, from where does my help come? It's a great question, isn't it? It's a wise question. He knows that he needs help. He knows that he needs a mighty ally. His voice, perhaps, is trembling with a bit of fear and doubt, the questions and concerns. So what goes through your mind when you find yourself in one of life's valleys? When you're struggling with some of the troubles and trials of life, its pains, its griefs, its losses, those days and months that are darkened by uncertainty or anxiety, by discouragements and failures. Maybe it's the beginning, having to begin a new career in some new place with all of the unknowns of that. Maybe it's the lifestyle changes that come with retirement. Maybe it's a health or family crisis, or a financial crisis that forces you to downsize or that wipes out your retirement savings. Perhaps it's trying to adjust to the blues and quietness of the empty nest, or the slow but progressive loss of independence due to age-related decline or disability. Disappointments, conflicts, losses, the death of a loved one. Any of these can become the hills and mountains that rise before our eyes as we journey on through life. No, you don't need to be a new Christian. You don't need to be new to the faith to find yourself wondering who to turn to in a time of need and crisis. Indeed, even lifelong believers can find themselves asking, where can I find help? Where can I find relief? Who can help me? Who is going to help me? Notice, though, that this fearful pilgrim has a quick reply to his own question. Again, beginning in verse 1, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. What a beautiful profession of faith that is. Here this pilgrim uses the Lord's covenant name, Yahweh. And to that name he adds a title, Maker of Heaven and Earth. This precise language is used in four other Psalms. It's used as a profession of faith and identity. And it's a phrase that should be very familiar to those of us within the Reformed tradition, since we use it at the beginning of each of our worship services. It's our brief statement of trust, sometimes called the votum. It's a Latin word meaning vow. Just before the Lord's greeting, we in the continental Reformed tradition have traditionally said, our help is in the name of the Lord, Maker of heaven and earth. You see, that statement identifies God, and it identifies our identity with Him and in Him, and why then we have gathered to worship Him. Our help is in the name of the Lord, Maker of heaven and earth. Notice, though, this fearful pilgrim's quick reply again, where he picks up on those words. And you wonder if he perhaps in his own worship services heard that phrase again and again as well. Perhaps that was the practice of Hebrew worshipers. And so this phrase comes to his mind and then from his mouth over against his anxiousness and fears. And boys and girls and young adults, I challenge you then to memorize as much scripture as you are able. It is a treasury of stored wealth. It's a reservoir of blessing from which to draw upon in times of trouble and crisis. When you memorize scripture, the Holy Spirit will bring it back to your mind from your heart when you need those words to encourage you. Make sure your well is deep. You will never regret memorizing Scripture. Well, those beautiful words, perhaps even spoken with faltering and an anxious voice, express the implications of the fact that this pilgrim's God is almighty. He is the sovereign creator. Which, of course, then means that troubles and terrors of this world are minor. They are insignificant, immaterial before Him. He's in control of it all. Put in New Testament words from Romans 8, verse 31, The psalmist is saying, if this Almighty God is for us, who or what then can be against us? The Lord God is the Almighty and sovereign helper of His people. And so remember that. Especially remember that when you find that your voice is shaking or anxious or filled with emotion. Remember that. But remember more than that, for this God, our God, is more to us than our Maker. And that brings us then to the second voice, which is a steady and reassuring voice. Psalm 121, beginning in verse 3. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Notice there the change of perspective based on the pronouns you and your. And so here it seems we have the voice of an old pro when it comes to pilgrimages. Someone who's journeyed this route to Jerusalem many times. He's speaking from experience. Spiritually speaking, then, he is perhaps an old-timer. He's walked with the Lord for many years. And apparently he's come alongside this anxious pilgrim to speak biblical truths to him. He's a mentor of sorts, if only for a few moments during this fearful traveler's journey. And boys and girls, teens, young adults, I trust that you have people in your lives that you can call alongside of you when you have spiritual questions or when you're struggling with doubts or fears or temptations or uncertainties. And hopefully your parents are at the top of your list of those you go to. Dads and moms, are you ready and willing to walk with your children when they are going through a rough patch? Without question, young Christians especially need someone or several someones who are spiritually mature. And so then a trustworthy resource of wisdom, experience, perspective, and encouragement. And teens and young adults, be thinking here of godly grandparents, teachers or pastors or other church members, or even those peers you have that you know to be godly and wise. But in fact, all of us need such company from time to time as we journey through the hills and valleys and rough patches of life. Listen again to verses 3 and 4. Speaking of the Lord, He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So here we see that this veteran pilgrim picks up on what his companion has professed regarding God. And then he expands on it. Yes, our helper is the Almighty Maker of heaven and earth. And that means then that he is a helper who is constantly watching, keeping, and protecting us. He's constantly providing and caring for us. And notice in his words how individually tailored the Lord's help is. Whether the pilgrim finds himself winding his way through rocky paths or up steep slopes or through treacherous passes, or whether they find themselves in a place frequented by bandits, or by venomous snakes, spiders, and scorpions. Our Almighty Helper is attentively engaged. He's watching, directing, and protecting this pilgrim personally and individually. And of course, that's true for everyone who belongs to the Lord, this Maker of heaven and earth. Our every footfall, our every step throughout life is under His watchful and loving care. Stop and think back a moment to all the places that your feet have carried you since your first wobbly baby steps. Think about what slippery and dangerous places they have been in. Remember, we use our feet for many things. We use them to drive, to pedal, to skate, to ski, to hike and to run, to climb and to jump. Well, our divine watcher saw every movement we made. He providentially permitted each and every step that we took. And that includes even those steps we made in the wrong direction when our feet were in places forbidden by our loving God. And yet, even in those dark and dangerous places, the Lord was present. He was present in mercy and with His watchful care. Trace the route your feet have already taken, and be sure to thank your Keeper for His gracious attentiveness throughout all of your life. Well, this steady and reassuring voice has more to say about the watcher. Again, returning to our text, beginning in verse 3, He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. So not only is our Lord near to us, nearer than even our shadow, but He's always alert and attentive, day and night, every second of every hour. The psalmist reminds us that He doesn't get tired, doesn't get fatigued, He doesn't take breaks, doesn't punch in and out. No, He provides shade in the sizzling heat of the day and a shield during the dark of night. Perhaps this experienced pilgrim had in mind the pillar of cloud and fire where the Lord went ahead of and behind the Israelites during the Exodus and throughout those 40 years in the wilderness. Of course, here the psalmist uses the sun and moon to represent the greatest threats that come to us, whether they come at us during the day or during the night. Whatever they might be, we can know that our watcher and keeper is more than able to shield and to protect us, to keep us from all lasting, indeed everlasting, harm. Again, beginning in verse 5, the Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade at your right hand, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. For those ancient pilgrims, the desert sun was a real danger. Its blistering rays could quickly sap the strength from both man and beast alike. Heat exhaustion and heat stroke were real threats. Think, for example, of Jonah's misery outside the city of Nineveh. And the Lord here isn't promising trouble-free walk through the park. These pilgrims still had to walk through those searing days and desert nights that were often chill with cold. In fact, here he writes of needing protection at night from the moon. Now, many ancient cultures believed that moonbeams could actually cause madness. Even our English words lunatic and lunacy are derived from the Latin word for moon. That's not really the focus here of Psalm 121. The psalmist here is simply using the moon to symbolize the dangers of the night. And there were and are many. I mentioned earlier in the message that there were bandits who were looking for targets day and night alike. And then there were nocturnal predators too, along with poisonous snakes and spiders. But included in this are also the beasts and monsters that frequently infest our nighttime thoughts and dreams. These beasts that rob us of sleep and of our peace. How often do you have run-ins with those sorts of metaphorical monsters. Again, there are no guarantees from God in this life that our lives will be easy without trauma or difficulty. No, but what He is promising us is that we will have the resources and spiritual weaponry we need to persevere, and that He will safely keep us, and that through His grace and by His power, we will press on and overcome. We will be more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. And so in His grace and strength, we can resist roaring lions. We can say, "Away from me, beast." God is promising His presence and peace, and that He'll work all things out to our eternal good. He's promising that no real or lasting harm will come to His people. Verse 7, "The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." So here at the end of the psalm, this steady and reassuring voice has taken on a priestly sort of tone. And His words here convey the character of the Aaronic blessing that's found in Numbers chapter 6. Those words are familiar to us as well, aren't they? The words, "The Lord bless you and keep you." Keep there again is the sense of watchful care. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace." Numbers 6, beginning in verse 24. Verse 8, "The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore." And so the Lord's watching, keeping, and caring, these are without limitation. It is truly cradle-to-grave coverage. And not only does it include our daily routines and activities, but it encompasses every moment between our earthly arrival and our earthly departure. And so from conception to our final breath. The watcher will accompany His people from their first footfall onto the very gates of the heavenly Jerusalem and beyond, even as we enter and walk with Him into eternity and into our everlasting inheritance. And this last verse of Psalm 121 also sounds similar to our great high priest's benediction, where the risen Jesus said, "Surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." Matthew 28, 19 and following. You see, this steady and reassuring voice is, in fact, the voice of our risen and victorious Savior. It is the voice of our almighty elder brother, our trailblazer, our Savior, our risen Lord and King. He is assuring us that He made the way safe to the heavenly Zion. And it's through Him and Him alone that we enjoy our Heavenly Father's watchful care. Jesus has opened the path to glory and the way to the celestial city. He led the way, and then He walks beside His people all the way. You know, each year, millions of Pacific salmon begin a long journey, and their distant destination is the freshwater spawning ground where they were born, like our own nearby Nooksack River. And they have many dangers and obstacles to overcome to reach that spot. Things like sharks and seals and orca, commercial and sport fishermen, bears and eagles, powerful currents and waterfalls. In fact, the percentage of salmon that make it all the way back to spawn is small, and sometimes as low as 1%. how different that is from what God's chosen people have as we journey toward our heavenly destination. No, the Bible says that though we will go through troubles and trials and obstacles and dangers, yet every single one who has placed their faith in Christ, without exception, every single one will safely reach their destination. What a blessing that none will be lost along the way. And the reason for that is that our helper is the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This Lord who will watch over our coming and going, both now and forevermore. All praise be to God. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we so need your help. We need your watchful care as we journey on through life. We ask that you would walk beside us, that you would guide and direct us, and that we would remember that you are there with us, that you love us, that you're caring for us. We ask that you would make our path straight. By your Spirit, you'd make our footing sure. And so you keep us from wandering off your pathway, and that you would help us to use the resources that you have provided us for our pilgrimage to glory. Oh Lord, bless us this day. Bless us day by day. Help us to walk in your strength and by your light, the light of your word, as we follow our gracious Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's turn in the Red Trinity hymnals.